I'm Dan Hughes in the Treasure Corner. Has this ever happened to you? Somebody sneers at you and says, "Metal detecting? Why would anyone want to do that? Hey, it costs a fortune for a good detector, and all you find are a few pennies and sometimes a nickel or a dime. Do the math, man. You're making a quarter an hour on a good day. You can make 30 times that working the drive-through at McDonald's. And that's not considering that you spend gas money to get to places and wear and tear on your car, and lots of times you drive pretty far to hunt. And what about all that other stuff you buy? $50 for a digger, $100 for a pinpointer, who knows what else. And then people yell at you for digging holes in the parks and the schoolyards, and on top of that you get all dirty. Laundry bills. What a stupid waste of time. Well, how do you answer these folks? Now, I know that you have no doubts about our hobby. I am preaching to the choir here, but it's nice to have some verbal ammunition if your so-called friends question your sanity. So, herewith, my suggestions for dealing with these naysayers. I had the same problem when I was into fishing. I'm one of those guys who fishes for the fun of it, not for survival, and I always return my catches to the water. It's called catch and release. And friends would say, "What's the point of that? Why go to all that trouble to catch a fish and then just throw it back? That doesn't make any sense." Well, it bothered me that I didn't have a good answer for that question. And then one day it hit me, and when the next person asked me why I didn't eat the fish I caught, I had an answer ready for him. I asked him, "Do you ever go bowling?" He said, "Yes." So I said, "And listen, this is good." I said, "Do you eat the pins you knock down?" So with treasure hunting, you can ask your friend if he bowls, and if he says yes, you reply, "Do you take home the pins you knock down and maybe sell them?" If he doesn't bowl, you can adjust the basic question and answer into something he does do. If he likes to play pool, for example, ask him if he keeps the balls he knocks into the pockets. Back to the fishing story, metal detecting has a lot in common with fishing. For example, with each hobby, you don't know for sure where you're going to catch a big fish or find a valuable coin. I've caught some large bass in water so shallow you'd never dream it could hold a big fish, and I found some great rings and relics in places you'd swear they'd never be. For example, I found a Civil War belt buckle in my backyard in Urbana, Illinois, several hundred miles from where any battle was fought. Another similarity between fishing and treasure hunting is that with both hobbies, there's always that chance that the next bite you get or the next beep you get will result in the biggest fish you've ever caught or the nicest gold ring you've ever found. And that is probably the biggest reason I love these hobbies. That anticipation and optimism just keeps me excited and young. You probably have your own answers to those folks who make fun of your hobby. Another good answer is to just smack them with your detector. No, wait, don't do that. I'm kidding. Honest, I am. By the way, I got the idea for this topic when a newbie named Murdoch Baines asked this question on one of the internet boards. He said, "Hey all, I'm a newbie. I was wondering what keeps you going. A lot of you out there spend $500 on equipment, and you will never find $500 worth of finds. Is it the thrill that the next thing could be a 24-karat gold bar? Is it the history behind coins? Is it that you're uncovering the past? I want to convince myself that it's good enough to spend a few dollars to find less than what I paid for my equipment." Now that's a fair question, to be sure, and there are several stock answers that come to mind. The healthful aspects of being outdoors and breathing fresh air, the physical exercise you get — many overweight people actually lose pounds and trim themselves down while they metal detect. Then there's the history you learn when you research, the friends you make when you join a club, the heart-pumping excitement and the adrenaline rush you get with every good beep, and of course the money, the relics, the rings, and other valuable finds you take home with you, unlike those bowlers. But here's the simple answer I gave Murdoch, who wants to convince himself that our hobby is good enough to jump into, even though he may never pay for his metal detector with his finds. I said, "I play softball. Guys pay $300 for a bat. They never make a penny. I fish. Guys pay $7,000 for a boat. They never make a penny. I watch TV. Guys pay $2,000 for a TV and $100 a month for dish or cable. They never make a penny." Get it? Metal detecting is one of the few hobbies that, after you have your equipment, puts money into your pocket rather than takes it out. Now, whether the money you bring home amounts to anything is pretty much up to you. Do your research, find the more promising spots for older coins, learn to get permission to hunt unhunted properties, and always remember, the harder I work, the luckier I get. Thanks for listening. For a lot more information on how to become a better treasure hunter, check out my book, The Metal Detecting Manual, now out in a brand new second edition, at treasuremanual.com. Until next time in the Treasure Corner, I'm Dan Hughes.